Music, wasn't it? Oh, wait. What show is this again?
Get with the program. This is Radio Freak America 46. Biatch!
Episode of Radio Freak America. What episode is this again, Stank?
This would be 4-6.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, this is Weird Mute, of course. You've heard me before. You never heard my real voice. I've always been on the phone. Yeah, good Diet Mountain Dew right there. Yeah, we're always on the show, but as you might have read from the boards, Stank Dog's boards, Duel's right now in Italy. You know, smacking it out with some Italy chicks. So he asked us to record the show.
Duel, if you're listening, if you're downloading this and hearing it over there, bring me back some pictures of some hot Italian chicks.
Yeah, yep. Stank needs that. Stank needs that badly. But, yeah, I'm fine over here. I'm good, Duel, you know. Hope you liked the opening. I told you you would. But anyways, he said, you know, guys, I got a hype for my pimp, so can you guys just do a couple episodes? And we were like, you gonna pay us? And he said no. And I said, all right, well, you know, everyone's gotta hear my voice every day, every week, so it might as well be me for real. And Stink's always on. It's just like we bring him on for fun.
Well, wait a minute now. You're not getting paid?
What? Are you serious? Are you getting paid?
Of course. You wouldn't think I would do this for free.
Oh, great. All right, I gotta go settle some scores at Duel. All right, fine. He'll just send me some 33s. It's all good.
Actually, maybe I shouldn't joke about that. Who knows, with all the government hits we've been getting lately, the IRS may come and audit me and want me to report this income. So for the record, no, I'm just joking. Yeah. IRS people, I'm not getting paid to do this, so go away. I don't like you.
Exactly. We all hate the IRS, basically. So, you know, all right, speaking of government hits, as a segue. Segue to government hits. You might have been reading on Root Secure, and what else? Who else posted it? I'm not sure.
I had talked about it a little bit. I think we insta-messaged and talked about it in the forums in the doghouse.
Yeah, we've been all talking about it. It's a big thing that's going on right now. A lot of our sites, particularly Root Secure, War Typing, Old School Freak, and Stank sites, stankdog.com, have been getting their ass shot out by mil.mils.govs.
Even some old school ARPANET.
Yes, yeah, even some ARPANET, man, getting some graphics there. There has been real no reason other than strictly paranoia for that, as far as we can tell. And just today, and this is we're recording this Sunday, by the way. Just today, Root Secure that's Nick, just posted that he's seen some patterns going on. He posted the host names that have been getting what files and so forth, and what search string they used, and he's been hitting them pretty hard, and he's got it broken down, so it's pretty interesting. What do you think about that, Stank?
Well, I noticed on mine first, and kind of brought it to Nick's attention, because I know he's a log hog. He likes to dig through his logs big time and see who's doing what where. So he and I kind of worked on it at the beginning, because what I noticed was that they were coming to very specific parts of my site, mainly the articles and downloads and stuff like that. They weren't coming to the home page and clicking through things or reading the forums or anything like that. They were coming straight to an article.
Exactly.
So they knew exactly what they wanted and what they were looking for. So I thought that was just, you know, if I just see them in the logs, it's really, I don't consider it a big deal. But when I see them coming for specific things like they're targeting, that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, I can see that too. I think they're Google. They're most likely using a Google or a Yahoo. That's where a lot of the referrals were coming from for getting their stuff. And, yeah, it kind of worries me that they're actually just kind of trolling around, and that they're doing it they're doing it openly as well. They're openly saying they're coming from a .gov, a .mil.
Well, they're not smart enough to use proxy servers or anything there, I guess.
Exactly. They're not lead enough for good old proxy servers. Sad. What else is up? We got a couple, you might have heard some ham radio news. Too bad I don't have a soundbite for ham radio. In a couple weeks... Well, it's kind of related to ham radio that Mitnick, you might remember that guy, you know, he got into some computers a while ago, got arrested.
Speaking about that lately, he has or has not gotten his license renewed?
He did in Christmas.
Woohoo!
The federal courts, I believe it was federal courts, said that he has allowed his license, the FCC, I believe it's back in his possession. He holds a general license. There's three sets of licenses. There's technician, general, and amateur extra. So general is kind of middle to, it's a good one to have. I have technician, by the way. He got his back. The reason that they did this was because they thought he would be kind of suspicious on the air, even though it was, I believe it was like the only person to be like to be revoked, and he didn't do anything wrong on air. Most time you're doing something illegal on air, which could be interrupting traffic, it could be decrypting encrypted transmissions, anything like that, or even encryption, because you don't have to do that on the ham radio bands. And it was only because of his notoriety and what happened before. So there was absolutely no point to revoke. But he did get it back. That was his Christmas present. It's been said a lot. But only in, I think, like, a couple of days after my birthday, he is going to be able to use the internet again. He's been able to use a computer before. He had to type Art of Deception, great book, by the way. He was actually able to post to that message board, defensivethinking.com, because they unplugged the server from the internet. He was able to reply on the server, plugged it back in, everything was updated, so that was nice. But come January 20th or 21st, he will be able to get online, and and the government sites will be whatever ISP he does choose, they'll be watching him very much, probably till he dies, I would think. So he's never really going to be free.
Yeah, you know, as far as posting to the site, all the posts from the forum is put into a MySQL database, And if he's really the security expert that he is, then he would have that on a separate server anyway, so that it wouldn't be directly accessible or so easy to access for outside users. So he could just go in and post directly to the database live while the forums engine is up and running. So he shouldn't really have had a problem posting to the forums so much, I wouldn't think. Again, I'm not sure how they have it set up there, but I wouldn't think that would be so difficult.
That's true, but in his touchy position, I think they really wanted to make sure that perhaps they probably court orders had to be set up and all that stuff, so he really didn't want to mess with it, so they just kind of kept it as it was, you know, we're going to not plug it into the internet, it's not going to be live. But that's true, you know, it's going to be a SQL database somewhere else, and he could have always posted like that. Who knows?
Also stinks the simple fact that he had that license before any of this, any of these allegations. And that's still all they ever were allegations, and he finally plea bargained down to something else just to get it over with. But the fact that he had it before any of this ever started gives them even less of a reason to revoke it. They never did, like you said, find anything that he did wrong on the air. He didn't do anything on the air that they caught him doing, or if he did anything at all, I'm not insinuating otherwise. So that's just kind of uncool. I mean, you have a license, and what's to stop me from filing a complaint saying that you decoded this, or that you did something you weren't supposed to do? Just that simple allegation could get your license pulled. Now there's been a precedence has been set with him, and precedences in the federal court system are the worst thing in the world. Once a precedence has been set, then instead of having to prove it in the future, you can always refer back to this case, and it makes it that much easier for them to make new laws and to twist them against you.
Exactly. It's not good anymore. It's more of a guilty till proven innocent. So innocent till proven guilty. And as I said before,
no thing is presumed innocence in this country anymore, and there hasn't been for the past 10 years.
Yeah,
our judicial system used to be the greatest in the world.
Exactly.
Greatest, far and away, the greatest system in the world. But so many lawyers and so many politicians have got in and just corrupted it beyond belief that it's become a laughing stock. When you keep someone, I'm going into a rant, aren't I?
Yeah, go for it, go for it.
When you put somebody who does nothing but broke into a computer or he possessed a card and they accuse him of having source code worth millions of dollars, yet they release it free on the internet, you know, explain that one to me. When they make these allegations and you end up keeping somebody in jail for 5 years, okay, and then on probation and he's got to be watched and he can't use all these things, and then, for like you said, for the rest of his life, they're going to watch him forever. Yet, I can get caught selling crack and be out 6 months.
Exactly.
Oh, there's something fucked up with this. This is just ridiculous. Murderers get off with less sentences than him. And that's just a damn shame. It's a crying shame.
Exactly. So, it's just, it's terrible. I don't know, we can't say much more than it's just not going to be fair anymore for those people.
Yeah, and it's not just him. You know, you say those people. It could be anybody. It could be you listening right now. Whoever, anybody listening to this show right now, that could be you. And I don't know about you, the rest of you out there listening, you and myself, I can't afford to match the government's money to defend myself. I can't get John Reed Cochran on my side. I'll get stuck with Marsha Clark defending my broke ass, and they will put me on a spit and stick me in the slammer. Because they can keep throwing money at it so that they don't look bad. They will throw money behind their DAs. They will throw money behind their lawyers and do whatever it takes to win and force me to eventually plead to something.
Exactly.
Instead of proving anything against me. And I have no choice but to fight it, which I can't do financially, like I said, or lose. So basically, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, it's just I see your point there. Yeah, we can never match how much money they have. And it's actually really sad. Actually, a week ago or so, John Johansson over in Netherlands, I believe, he was finally acquitted for the DCSS, which is a major victory.
Yeah, that's another whole tangent you can talk about, too, is how we are imposing our laws on these other countries. You know, Skylarov had issues over here where they wanted to bring him in. And, I mean, we're starting to force our fucked up judicial system onto other countries and other people. You know, that's a whole nother tangent we could go into, but you know, I think the point is made.
Yeah. What else? Let's see. Sting, you want to bring up any other general news?
Oh, geez. Well, let's see. I guess I can whine a little bit about distributed.net. I posted on the forum. I'm a little disappointed that we don't have more people participating in this. I know it's still early, so and I know a lot of people have to make time to get around to put this client on there, but I'd like to see some more people join the DDP team. Or at least put the clients on your systems and get started. You can join the team at any time, because I know they have not put the statistics up to a public link yet. You can link to them from my site, kind of backdoored in, or just kind of little URL manipulation, URL abuse, if you read one of my early articles. So I'd like to see more people get involved with that.
Yeah. Speaking of decryption, actually, the Xbox key to their Xbox Live system, it was either the Xbox itself or the Xbox Live. There was a project going out to crack the key, and this was laughed at because it's a humongous key, but it would still be possible with the time. Within a few days, that was immediately shot down by Microsoft. Immediately shut down. That's actually kind of sad because, you know, we can have people decrypt RC5, and that was done. We helped with that.
Yep.
And it's kind of sad that, I mean, this problem with, like, just free speech in general with the ability to use, I mean, ability to use your computer, it's all coming from the fucking Digital Millennium Copyright Act and all this stuff, but luckily we're getting other things, like we're getting that Johansson, he was acquitted, that's good, we're getting people coming back. Now, what I don't like, I don't know if you're going to agree with me, Sink, here, but just today again, or yesterday, last night, the RIAA was defaced once again.
Yeah, I was just reading about that earlier.
Now, from a technical standpoint, this has happened 3 or 4 times. If you go to my site, plug, wintermute.net, 1s and 3s, you actually see the code for their news function. There, I believe it was some CGI scripts you could post news, and that was a hack someone did. I don't have the code for the hack. I have the actual HTML for that file. And just now, people are posting crap. Now, it's cool. It's good that these exploits that this is shown, and they have shitty security. But
4 times in the past, like 3 months.
Yeah,
something like
This is. I mean, it's insane. They should be a little more protective. But the problem is, I don't really think these guys. And now I know I might get some mail for this, but it's not really helping any cause to constantly beat down on them. Because it's open, I mean, you can get access is easy. You can get into anything. But going about and doing it and posting all this crap, it's just hurting, it's hurting actually the image of a hacker more than anything.
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with you. Yet at the same time, there comes a point, there's a line that everybody has to draw individually, not as a group. And it may be beyond my line to go out and deface the RIAA on a personal level, but I am not going to disrespect or say that someone else doing that is necessarily wrong. I feel pretty strongly against the RIAA. I mean, I couldn't hate them any more than I possibly do. And I know a lot of other people feel that way. And when you go out there and hack these sites and make changes like they've done, yes, it's a catch-22. Yes, they're giving hackers a bad name to a certain extent, but at the same time, you got to judge the good with the bad. The hacker name, to a certain extent, is irrecoverable. It's been stolen by the media. There's no such thing as a hacker, and people whine, oh, I hate it when hackers get blamed for this, and everybody thinks the hacker's done that. Well, you're never, ever, ever going to change that. Ever. It's a lost word. It has been stolen. It has been stolen from us. So to a certain extent, it's not worth fighting for as long as you are going to get some better purpose out of it. And by hacking these sites, the one that just happened Saturday, the 11th, I think it was, posted a simple message up there that spoke volumes and I think may further educate people and make people understand what's wrong and what the RIAA is doing. The irony, the message that was posted was something to the effect of, How dare you want to write Trojans and viruses to insert onto peer-to-peer file sharing when you can't even secure your own fucking site? I mean, that's a powerful message to send. So you got to determine on your own level if the good outweighs the bad. And, you know, on that message, I think the good outweighs the bad. I agree with what you're saying. It does give us a bad name. But, you know, I guess sometimes it's necessary.
What you just said, how you said that there is a line. It's of course a personal line for me, defacement. If it's gonna be slander, I don't want that. But coming from what the RA is doing, and what you just said, the quote that was put on the site, I completely agree with you there. That if they're gonna start saying like we can hack your computer to get the copyrighted material out of your computer, we're gonna put viruses out there to hurt you. Well, that's step in line because now you're invading my privacy. You're invading my computer. Well, of course we're going to come back at you. It's this fight fire with fire thing, which in some cases is bad, but you know it's a shady ground.
Well, plus it points out the double standard that exists. If you or I or anybody else were to threaten the RIAA and say, "Hey, we're going to hit you with a virus, you dirty bastards," we'd have the FBI pounding on our door the next day if they waited that long. Yet the RIAA can make press conferences and go to seminars and promote that the fact that they are going to do this, they are going to try to stop peer-to-peer by putting viruses, by putting spyware, and by installing these things, and they can get away with it. That is a double standard, and that is simply not right.
Exactly. Actually, I get the Wired magazine as you might have remembered from the shitty TLC presentation. What was it called? It was Hackers, Outlaws, and Angels. They said Captain Zapp. Who the fuck is Captain Zapp?
Like that, yeah. Yeah, Outlaw. You're right. Outlaws and Angels.
Yeah. Who the fuck is Captain Zapp? They Wired called him number one. All right. That's shit.
Truck driver. No, wait a minute. That's not him.
No. All right. Well, to this this month, which they released February 2003, Wired, we got a picture of the Lindenberg on fire. We got Ritmix Burn, the fall of the music industry. Funny enough, Ritmix Burn is the name of Roxio's Easy CD Creator 5, their slogan, which I believe they have their graphic on the front cover. But they have an interview with the bitch of the RAAA, Hillier Rosen. They open up with hating Hillary, Napster Slayer, corporate thug, industry shill. Hillier Rosen has heard it all as a rebelled frontwoman for the music biz. Sure, she knows file sharing is the future. She is fighting to give the dinosaurs one last grasp. That's completely true. Because from this standpoint right now, you're not going to stop peer-to-peer. Short of blocking those, well, you can't even block them because you're just going to change ports. Realistically, you're going to have to shut down the internet. I don't know if you're going to go that far, but you're going to do pretty damn close to that to stop it. What do you think?
Well, actually, I'm going to throw out some technical theory here for a minute, if I may.
Go for it.
There is, let's see, I want to keep it as simple as possible. There's a file sharing client called Nutella, which is more than just a client. It's actually a protocol that is, instead of having a centralized server, which a lot of them don't use a centralized server anymore, the way that it connects is it's kind of like a spider. When you install the application on your system, it spiders out to the next closest X number of people that you want it to look at and checks the files on their hard drive. Then from each one of those two people, it will X number of times out again and kind of spread its way until it finds the file you're looking for. So when you search, you're not hitting a search engine, you're not hitting a rerouter, you're not hitting a temporary IP. Things like Direct Connect and some of those other file sharing, they do have servers. It's just that when one gets busted or one gets caught, or even if they don't get caught, they just use a temporary IP, drop off real quick before they get caught and move to another one, so it's kind of a pain. With Nutella, the problem with it is if you're on a 56K modem and or your neighbors are on 56K modems, it makes it just horribly slow to use, so it's not that popular because it's not that fast. The other file sharing programs, you can look and see what bandwidth people are using and choose to only download from other broadband users and get what you want. But With the Nutella, you can't really tell. You can to a certain extent, but for the, in general, if you've got nothing but 56K modem users on your first 10 hits, that's the fastest that the stuff can get back to you. It's going to trickle through their modems, through their clients, to you. Well, this is the theory part of it. You can use the Nutella protocol through any port. And I think the future, the unstoppable future of peer-to-peer, is to use the Nutella protocol or something similar to it to develop known or underground subnets, for lack of a better word, or port nets. For example, there's a default port in Nutella, and that's what everybody goes to, and most typical newbie file sharing people will not know how to change those settings. But you can go to BearShare, you can try ToadNode, there's several different ones where you can set what port you want it to look at. You can establish a group of known people with large hard drives or whatever to always use a set port. So if we were to pick port 31337, for lack of a better example, and I know that you have broadband, we know that I have broadband, we know 10 other people that have broadband, when I spider out, I only spider out to those broadband people. I can search through those people that I know and trust, and there's no way that anybody can stop them unless they want to come individually, house to house, door to door, and stop millions of people who are file sharing, and that's logically impossible.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is that, you know, we don't even know the spread. I mean, they're not going to talk about it publicly. You don't know the spread of even that's happening right now. That could be, I mean, not under, like, underground subnets, perhaps, that could be going on right now. You have no idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're probably hitting the nail right in the head when you say that there are people out there probably with massive networks that could be the big guys that run the WARES sites that already have this. They're not on IRC. They're not on Kazaa. They're on their own clients running their own stuff, and you can't stop that because you don't know where it's coming from.
Right.
And it's a chock full of music this wire right here. They have a picture of the leader of Sherman Networks, that's the company that owns Kazaa, called The Race to Kill Kazaa. The servers are in Denmark, the software is in Estonia, the domain is registered down under, the corporation is on a tiny island in the South Pacific, the users, 60 million of them, are everywhere around the world. The next Napster, think bigger, in the pity of the poor copyright cops trying to pull the plug. Perfect example, because it runs completely peer-to-peer. The only way you check in is you log in. As soon as you fire it up, you log in, but really don't even log in because out light, you pick whatever username you want. They don't care.
All right.
So, basically, they have come from sending files of shitty, or even making shitty tapes of radio or your CDs to better than CD quality in some cases. If you're jacking masters from record companies, you're getting the DVDs straight out of the movie theater. If you work there, ripping them, getting them on the internet within 24 hours, or even with less than 24 hours of obtaining it, ripping it, putting it on there, it's out. You cannot stop that.
Right, and you know, truthfully, let me say I'm not condoning piracy or wares in any way, shape, or form. The funny thing is what I usually get on file sharing is like a lot of things that I simply cannot find here. I listen to a lot of, like to watch a lot of anime that's never been released in the United States. The only way I find that is out on the file sharing stuff, and I download it, and it's usually dubbed or it's in the original language, and sometimes, you know, I like it better that way sometimes. So just the simple fact that there is wares out there, there are other quote-unquote illegal things going on is really not the main point of it. Peer-to-peer has so many valid uses that they can't kill it all together.
Exactly, because you know you're not going to find, as you said, obscure anime at Blockbuster, because you're going to go find it on peer-to-peer. It's someone that has the tape, that spent the money in whatever foreign land, ripped it, cracked it, of course, and put on the internet. You're just not gonna go out and say, they're gonna laugh at you because Blockbuster, whatever chain, is gonna say no. And that is a solid pro for file sharing. Of course, having wares on it kind of degradates, kind of makes it even shadier. But if it was completely the good, like, stuff, really obscure stuff you can't find, then it's fine. Because in that sense, you're not going to go spend whatever exorbitant amount of money to go find that one thing. So it's just,
right. And the other thing is that it gives an outlet to... Another thing that I like to get is music. There's a lot of music from other countries that I like that's also never released here. And there's music there's great stuff that simply does not make it to the recording industry because they control so much and because they do these cookie-cutter bullshit boy bands and these chicks that they bring out there, each one with less clothes than the previous one and less talent to go with it, that we can't get real music anymore. There's no real musicians that are signed to record contracts, or very few, I won't say none, because there's some good music, but you can go to mp3.com and you can also find a lot of great music. There's been some songs that I just thought were excellent and groups that I found out about from file sharing. I see a song name and I'm like, wow, that sounds interesting. Let me see what it is, just blindly trying things. And that turned out that I found a lot of stuff that I like. I go on to mp3.com, I go on to some other sites, Shoutcast, I listen for new and obscure music on that. And I go out there and it actually generates business for these small bands and local bands who have no other means of distribution because the RIAA will not give them a shot, you know?
Yeah. You can't, if you're not going to be, right now, if you're not signed, you're not going to get played on major radio. That's like end all, some radio stations do have a unsigned kind of thing where they can play some local stuff, but the major format, and don't think that your requests when you call are actually going to get played. If your song's coming up, they might play your voice, like, oh, I want whatever. It's not going to be played immediately. They have a playlist cut out that's going to be set. They might have a national playlist. I'm not going to say that I know of any national playlist, but of course there is a program director or whoever that is setting up what music is played.
Well, there might not be a specific playlist. There is a circulation list.
Yes.
These are the songs. You have the RIAA has people that they're going to push. The MTV, they have people that they're going to push. And Clear Channel, who owns every fucking radio station in the world. Tell me it's not coincidence that when one radio station goes to commercial and you flip to another station, it also goes to commercial. It's because they're all owned by Clear Channel and they all synchronize together. It's the same shit, different channels.
And
they all pull from the same pool of artists.
And even if let's say I'm listening to one, let's listen to band A on one channel, and I'm like, oh wait, let me see what's on the other one. It's going to be the same exact fucking song.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I flip from one channel to the other. And it's one song has just ended, and I hear the same song beginning on another channel.
I'm like, this is the whole point. There's supposed to be variety.
Right.
There is no variety anymore. It's going to be whatever sounds good to RIAA or what's going to pull the most money, which, in this case, boy bands and pop rock. You're not going to get, like, I like electronic music. I know a lot of people like electronic music. Only if it sounds pop enough is it going to be played. That's the only way.
But you can find it on the net.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what they fear most, and that's why they push this so badly. They fear that more than anything. The internet is a viable distribution medium, and they want to control that because any new medium takes away from their old medium, and that would be pressing out CDs. We all know now that we can press out a CD at home for 50 cents or less. And print off a nice label and everything on top of it. So you're not fooling us with this $18, $20 bullshit. Consumers are smarter now, and you're not going to keep ripping us off. We know we're being ripped off. We have developed a new medium just because of that, and because you took advantage of us so long that people have rose up against you and overridden you, and you've lost control, and they're just trying desperately to hang on to that control.
Exactly. All right, I want to talk about one other subject. I completely forgot this. I was just notified today by Kleptic that he's running a tad short on articles. And by the time you hear this, it'll be the deadline for that. He wants to put Outbreak out. It's been a, he's had it running for a year. He really likes it. He's just, he's been begging people for articles. I'm taking the time from the show to say, people, write what you know and send it to him. He's been running for a year. It's just starting off. There's a lot of other trades out there. There's a lot of other e-zines, Frequency, Radical Future, to name a few. Give him something, because it's just too small to even say. He just like nothing, basically. He needs stuff right now. Send it to him as soon as you hear this. If you have anything to give out, it could be old, send it to him. I want to see the media hang on. I love doing this. I've only been, small little break here, I've only been in the hacking scene, if you will, for a few years, and I'm already taping a show. I don't want to have this die out. This is a very popular media. I don't want to see things die out so quickly. Now, the sad news comes, if he doesn't receive enough articles, the outbreak might die. He's not sure yet. So, guys, just put something out, send it to him, and it'll be good. Just keep it going for a few more months.
All you have to do is, and you know, I work all day, as everybody knows, and have been going to school in the evening. So, and I find time to write and get this stuff down and get this stuff out there. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. It's just write about what you do know. Write a nice organized article about things. And I've said many times, you can come to my site or you can email me. I'll be happy to look over things and proofread and offer some suggestions and things like that. And we say on the show all the time that we want other people out there producing stuff. We want other radio shows. We want other zines out there. We want every source of information that we can get, because every one that we produce takes away from one that the mass media produces and their brainwashing stuff. We can show out what the real people think. So, you know, you guys have an opportunity here to put out information from a reliable source, and I hate to see us lose another outlet of that.
Exactly. All right, I'm gonna roll into a subject that's near and dear to my heart: freak news. We're gonna start. I'm just gonna talk about a few things. I think actually, yeah, we can do the payphone as well. So this is what's up. I was over Radio Shack. You know, it's fun. You know, just hang out there, look around. You know. You know, root their computer. It's always fun. You know, you go out. It's easy. You've seen. They always have an internet accessible computer. Playing those are all fun. This is what's up. I mentioned a couple weeks ago. You can get that little handset phone that you hook up to your ear. It's a little kind of a crappy little headset type thing, and it was like $5. I roll into Radio Shack. It's been marked up to 15. Now that just might be that Radio Shack, but I just see that's kind of funny how, if it is true, it might be just because, oh, wait, we have a few, we can sell them as much as possible, that capitalist mentality. But I don't know, maybe it was some way us doing that, but that's just a little side note. But what I really do want to mention is, now this is not a major thing, but they also have you might have seen it, it's a caller ID blocker. Have you seen the snake?
No, I don't think I've seen that. Well, I've heard about it, you know, there's been a lot of texts out recently of how to make one.
Yeah, there's they sell a simple. It's like $7. Basically you put it in between your phone line. Whenever you pick up the phone, it dials a *67. And you're thinking, wait, that's going to charge you because *69 charges you. From what I hear, *67 does not charge you. Blocks your line out. Block totally. It's not going to block ANI. So don't think about hacking from your house. It's just going to block who your next door neighbor you don't want to see.
And that's going to depend on your telco also.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's going to vary from area to area.
Yeah.
So that's check your local area before you go trying some of this.
Yeah, so basically I cracked it open. It's a very small little thing. It runs off a microcontroller, actually a Peak. And I was reading up some text. I was actually mistaken. I thought it was erasable. My friend Etox, he told me it wasn't. But this is actually a funny idea for a box. If you actually want to think about it, you can get another Peak. They're not that expensive. You can download the code off of this Peak. You can run it, and you can do so. If you just think about hooking this up, getting some alligator clips on this thing, you can do some damage. Just wanted to mention that. Stink, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to call up the payphone and just stay online, okay?
No problem.
All right, here we go. All right, guys. Stink's on the other line. He can't hear me say he's, I won't even say it. He might listen to this later. All right, here we go, guys. All right, we're going to call up a nice little payphone. You there, Stink?
Gotcha.
Yet. While the phone is still ringing, your local phone company offers you a service that will record your name and number for later delivery.
Still there, Stink? Stink, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold and hang up the other line 1 second. All right, that payphone, you there, Stink?
I'm here.
All right, that payphone was at Union Station. We hold our 2600 meetings there. That was at the baggage claim for Amtrak. Looks like no one's coming in right now. I got another one that actually people pick up on. It's actually in the food court. I'm going to do this again. 1 moment. Here we go. No one picks up, we're leaving a message.
Hello?
Hello, who is this?
This is the Union Station.
Oh, where is this at exactly?
In downtown Chicago.
I know, but where are you right now exactly?
I'm up on the food court.
Oh, the food court. How is it over there? Is it good?
Yes.
Oh, good. Stank, do you have anything to say to her?
Yeah, what are you eating right now?
Ooh, we were rejected, Stank.
Man, now I'm going to wonder all night what she was eating.
Oh, man, that was really mean. I can't believe she hung up. I
think she could have at least said goodbye.
Yeah, no, just like the blatant, you actually heard the blatant click.
Yeah.
I mean.
That was a slam. That wasn't a hang up. That was a slam down.
Damn. Well, that's actually just to say, you know, you can have fun at the food. You can have fun collecting numbers and stuff. It's always fun. All right, we'll end Freak News now. And that's the closing of Freak News.
Is that Freak News or just a freak experiment? Or?
Yeah, they could be the freak. What a hacker might call it again?
Freak Odyssey.
Yeah, the Freak Odyssey. I think that's what they called it. The homage to the Freak Odyssey.
I thought the Freak Odyssey required movement, walking out and calling from the payphone.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's okay. It was okay.
All right, we'll go with it.
It's good enough. So, what else can we talk about?
Well, how about some gaming information?
All right.
I saw a website, and I was talking to you about it earlier this week, about a site called G4TV.com, which is a gaming TV channel. I thought, actually, when I saw the link, I thought it was going to be a web show, because we had spoken about that in the past, about wanting one. But when I get there, I find out that it's actually a valid cable network. However, my crummy cable, as we've covered on shows in the past, doesn't carry anything remotely close to cool. So I think you mentioned that you actually had this channel, didn't you?
I do, actually. It's actually, we have AT&T broadband, or I wouldn't be streaming the show. And we actually it's not even, actually I said on the board, I've been from at home to AT&T BI to Comcast now. Because when I called up tech support, he labeled himself as Comcast, so I'm officially the whore of the cable industry. Was that a clap?
And does that make me the pimp type of the cable industry, or?
I don't know. We won't go into that. We'll go into that after the show. Anyways, we also have the digital cable as well, which it's okay. There's some. I mean, you get a lot of channels, but G4 TV from its concept, I think it started back in the summertime. It had a good concept. If anyone remembers ZDTV, which is now the infamous Tech TV, ZDTV was really kind of, wasn't there from the beginning, but it was small, it was kind of weird, it basically was running on tape shows, someone taped in a studio, like, people might remember The Money Machine, there was Fresh Gear, there was a gaming show, don't remember, it was GameSpot TV, because ZD owned GameSpot TV at the time. But then they always had screensavers at night live. Then it moved to Tech TV. Then it actually kind of picked up some steam. I would give G4 TV kind of the ZDTV feel, because it's a lot of tape shows, and they have a live show at night. It's good because the content is solid. There's a lot of good shows. I can't remember. There's one show that goes into the history of games. Like, they did a Pac-Man once. I think they talk about Donkey Kong. They talk about kind of basically the leader. I forgot his name was. He's like the inventor of all the good games for Nintendo, like Miyamoto or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they go into a lot of good stuff. So the content there is solid. I can give them that. Just the repetition of that really 99.9% taped feeling of a network, I don't like. But still, I recommend if you got the G4 TV, definitely watch it. There's some good programming, and the website's actually pretty cool, too. Check that out.
And if you don't have it, you can go to the website and fill out request forms, and they have the addresses of all the cable companies, and you put in your zip code, and they'll automatically send an email to your cable company saying that you're interested in requesting it on your behalf, which I guess is a good idea in theory, but I've never, ever, ever seen that work, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good service that they offer, so maybe, you know, if enough people say, then it might work. But I haven't had that much luck with it myself, so I'm kind of skeptical.
So, Stank, did you want to talk about Hack TV?
Well, there's a little bit of news. I finally got, see, one of the holdups has been hardware and determining some standards of how we're going to do this and sizes and stuff like that. So, week by week, each weekend, I've been doing a little bit more, so I finally got where I've ripped all of my footage so far into digital video format. So right now it's raw DV, which is very, very space-consuming. I've needed to experiment with a few different compression methods and sizes and see what the file size ends up and the quality loss. And I got to also consider the fact that I'm going to be getting video from other sources, and other sources are going to come in different formats, different sizes, different qualities, and I need to find a balance between the two of them. My camera is DV, which is very, very high quality, but if I get in something, I want to be able to put in footage from older formats, some 8mm, some even some analog VHS tapes, if that's what it takes. I had a public access TV show, I had a couple of them actually. Frequently canceled for questionable content, but I do have the 8mm tapes I recorded, and that's what I've done this weekend. I bought a piece of equipment. It's called Pinnacle Bungee, and what its intent is for letting you basically watch TV on your computer. You can kind of make a TiVo out of your system. But I bought it because it has the RGB input on the front and S-video, so I can put in the 8mm camera that I borrowed from my friend Saitu, and extract the stuff from my 8mm tapes, and that now also is in digital form. Well, not digital format, it's in MPEG format. It's been digitized, but it's not going to be digital quality, so I should be careful with the words. And that's in a different quality level, so I'm trying to find a nice happy medium where I can mix everybody's things together and still have it all look tasteful, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I actually have a... Funny that you mentioned bringing up camcorders. My camcorder on the side says official sponsor of the 1992 Olympics. So that's not the best camera to tape in, but it's good enough. And I actually have a capture card as well, TV, and I bought. I like playing Dreamcast on, you know, you break out break out the games once in a while. But, yeah, that's definitely what I'm going to be doing, hooking up the camcorder and taping some good segments.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You can, anybody listening, if you do have something, I know the guys over at 47 Alliance were talking about putting something together, and some of the board members have been talking about it. I know Duel, you and myself for sure have some things that are in progress and already filmed. So the next, probably over the next end of January here, I'm going to be putting stuff together and content-wise. And then after that, I guess, I don't know what the word is, not special effects, but transitions and make sure it flows smoothly from segment to segment and some things like that. So it is moving and it's getting closer. It's just the heart of it and the thing that's been taking the most time was getting the hardware and the standards up and going. And once we've got that determined and I get the hang of doing it, because as I've said many times, I'm not artistically talented. So once I get the hang of doing this and get a kind of a pattern to it, hopefully we'll get it coming much faster and much more often. So get those first one or two out of the way, and then hopefully it'll be some smooth sailing after that.
Yeah, I'm expecting it's actually better because, you know, you've always seen, of course, text files. That's how it was born, baby. We got text, I mean, the scene, if you will, started with text files, started with the ASCII. We're going with radio now. You have audio. We can talk. We can give you updates. Now, as we're doing right now, we got video. We're going to have Hack TV. You're actually going to have something that you can see. We can show examples. Pictures only can convey, as they say, pictures are worth 1,000 words. But at 30 frames per second, that's a lot of fucking words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be, it's something, you know, we're only, as you said, we're going to have to get the hang of it first. And, oh, anyone that's listening right now that you already haven't, contact Zapperlink. Zapperlink at oldschoolfreaky.com, I believe. Hook him, talk to him, talk to the board guys, go on Stank's board, start talking to the Hack TV thread. They're talking about logos, talking about transitions, all the kind of, not the video so much as the presentation, we're talking about that. So if you've got any expertise at all and you want to help out, hit them up, definitely.
Any advice would be appreciated, and actually I didn't mean to turn this into a big thread, but since you're hit on it, I know a lot of people, I mentioned this before, some people don't want to be on camera or choose not to be on camera, and I posted some ways around that. But even besides that, what I really want to know, I have ideas what I would like to see. And we've kicked around some ideas, Mute and I, Duel, we've kicked around some ideas, but I'd like to hear from the listeners out there, what do you want to see? I don't want to just spit out what I like to do or what I know how to do and what I think people want to see. Tell me what you would like to see on the show, and we'll see what we can do. If you come up with ideas or segments, we'll see if we can't work them in. I mean, we've talked about some on the air, and I've got a few surprises that I'm not going to reveal. That hopefully I'll get you in the show and surprise you with some things. But if anybody has some suggestions or ideas of what they would like to see, what they would not like to see, you know, by all means, come to the board, stankdog.com. Post it in the Digital Doghouse in the forums. Email me, stankdog@hotmail.com, and let me know what do you want to see. If you got any ideas, I'm open to listening to any of that.
See, we, of course, there isn't. How should I say this? Without support, without the listenership or kind of the interaction with the community, you can't have anything good. It's really impossible. How everything was generated was with people with knowledge that could give it. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to put out good stuff. That's, I mean, it's.
But knows I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Stink, come on. He's worthless.
Exactly.
He puts out some of the coolest shit I've seen in a long time. So, I mean, come on. It's not too hard to. If you're into any. I mean, you can. You know what you're good at, and if you found something cool about it, talk about it. That's all we're saying. You don't have to be, like, putting out every week, like, Duel or me or Stank. You can just drop one thing, and that's awesome.
And it could be something that you know or familiar with or something you would just like to know, because I have seen some stuff written recently by people that really did not know much about the item to begin with, but went out and did some research and went out and played with some machines and some kiosks and ended up posting information that just turned out to be, you know, I thought incredibly interesting and stuff that I didn't know, stuff that I never, you know, thought of before. So it's not only what you know, it's what you want to learn and what you want to know. And you know, we can work with all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So you mentioned earlier the about breaking out the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, Duel, this one's for you. I finally broke down and I bought a GameCube.
Oh, so...
Yeah, it's a... Actually, are we okay on time? I got a fun little social engineering.
You got about... I'll give you 10 more minutes.
All right. GameCube, they had a sale at Best Buy on GameCube, which, again, is an electronics retailer and down here on the East Coast. They had a sale on the GameCube system and a Star Wars game. I don't know the name of it. Some spaceship flying thing. I really didn't care. It was a free game, and the systems were on sale for $149. So when I got up there and tried to check out, one of the systems, one of the boxed GameCube systems comes with a game in it called Mario Sunshine, which sounds dumb, but the Mario games are really cool. So I decided, you know, if I can get that box, there was only like two or three of them left. They were right on the display with all the others. So I picked one of those up, so I got that free game, and then I got the other free game because of the promotion. But when I go to check out, the GameCube thing scans at $189. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, it's $149 in the ad. Well, no, this one has the extra game in it, so they wouldn't sell it for that price.
Ooh.
The ad very, very clearly said in it, $149 GameCube system plus free Rogue Squadron. That's what it was, Rogue Squadron game. So, you know, I went up there and argued with the girl for a little while, and she would not do it. So I simply walked over to the customer service desk, tried to play it, played stupid again. When it scanned up the wrong thing, I just showed them the ad, threw a little Jedi mind trick on him, and said, no, see, it says GameCube Systems, and that's all this is, right? And he said, well, yeah, I guess, okay, I'll just override it. And threw a little Jedi mind trick. He overrode the price of it to $149. Plus, I got the free game on top of it. So I got a GameCube system with two games and a memory card and whatever else came in the box. So I've joined with Duel now. We can play Super Monkey Ball 2, I guess. Does Nintendo, do they have an online thing yet?
They have a modem available, I believe. I don't know if those are I don't know if you can dial people up, but hey.
Duel and I may have to hook that up again because I know he was real high on his, so I broke down and bought it.
There you go, man. Hey, I got the Dreamcast. I have a lot of them, actually.
I have a lot of the old ones. I still don't have a PlayStation 2.
Mm.
I don't know why. I bought the Xbox. So, well, you know what? That's something else that we can talk about that's been in the news lately was the offer out there of cracking the Xbox and running Linux on it. I don't know if you've mentioned that one. Did you read about that?
Yeah, a little. I think it was a couple months, but they said we can, if you crack it, if you crack it without a mod, you're going to get like $200,000.
And I don't remember the amount of it, but what the funny thing, the surprising thing was, the person who had put up that challenge revealed himself.
Gates, was it?
No, it was I don't remember his name, unfortunately. I shouldn't have brought it up, but the guy who owns or founded Lindows.
Oh, Lindows, dude. Okay.
Fighting with Windows in court right now over the copyright of the word Windows.
Yeah.
The guy who made the Lindows environment for Linux is the one who had put it up to be cracked, I guess. I don't know if he did it just to be funny, just for the, you know, to help the community, or if he actually thought somehow he was going to get Lindows running on an Xbox and somehow slip in there, but I thought that kind of turned out to be kind of ironic.
Yeah, that's funny. Actually, we all know about Lindows. I think we're going to have to call it quits now.
Are we up already?
Yeah, we're up. We're at 55 minutes, unless you have some urgent news.
Oh, let's see. Urgent news? No, I guess we got some stuff we can talk about next week. I got some a couple things in progress that might be interesting. Finally saw Freedom Downtime.
There you go. Yeah, speaking of which, go to rootscure.net, of course, great site, but go to fd.rootscure.net and you can hit up Freedom Downtime. Don't kill the servers, you know. He only allows one connection at a time, one IP at a time. But
just go to the regular site, rootsecure.net, and he has a link there. Yeah. And like you said, don't hammer the site or it'll get taken down real quick.
Yeah,
but They have said publicly that they don't mind distribution of it, and since it's pretty much common knowledge they're not going to release it on DVD anytime soon, then, you know, I wanted to see it, so I got the digital version of it and watched it, and it was pretty decent. I learned a lot of stuff watching it, and it was pretty well done.
I actually found it kind of funny, after watching it a few times, I don't know, they probably already changed this, but on the tape itself, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Yeah, you actually clearly see, I think it was Emmanuel, typing in the code for FedEx. So, basically, that was completely out there as soon as that was sold, and, you know, they shoved beer in it and stuff, which I found extremely funny.
Yeah.
I think we're wrapping up right now.
All right.
All right, we're going to say good night to all the home radio freaks or hackers of the world listening to the show. Stank, you want to give your closing?
Nope, just let everybody know. We'll see them all next week. Same hack time, same hack channel.
Bye-bye, people.
Hey, DJ! Yes, yes, yes!